Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have any comment or question to ask concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you've had on your mind for some time and would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, lifestyle necessarily has to do with one's relationship to God. In Titus 2, verse 11 beginning, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, it seems that most of the world is completely out of touch with the reality of Almighty God and His rule over mankind. You know, by definition, it's obvious that this subject has to do with authority. This is not a question of what, but it's a question of who. Time and culture cannot rightfully determine, but God does. To determine, that is, to set a boundary, to fix conclusively or authoritatively, is a judicial decision settling and ending a controversy. So lifestyle is one's typical way of life. So who determines, that is, who limits boundaries or fixes conclusively how that one is to live their life? Well, it's not man, because Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, "It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." And since it is not mankind, we know lifestyles are not set subjectively, but objectively. That is, they're set from without man. And lifestyle is a moral, a spiritual issue, in that it's one's way of life. In Colossians chapter 1, here's what we read in verse 10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." 2 John 6, "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that if we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it." Man is moral, endowed with conscience, and therefore he's amenable to his Creator, who determines the boundaries of his behavior. And forthrightly, James instructs saints to not be a friend to the world. In James chapter 4, here's what we read in verse 4. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." See, friendly affection for the world is enmity against God. And whoever intends to be a friend of the world establishes himself as an enemy of God. John uses a word for love that indicates direction of the will, that is, a purposeful choice. In 1 John chapter 2, here's what we read, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so here we see that this love of the world is prohibited. One is prohibited from loving the world. And so the world confronts every one of us as Christians today. You know, ethically, the term world here is used in reference to all that is opposed to the Lord. Just like what we see in 1 John chapter 2, down there in that verse that we just read, verse 15. But then we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world. But then here in 1 John 2:15, we are never to love the world. So these two verses uses the word world differently. And that we have to see from the context. God does not love what he forbids us to love. He loves the whole mass of men that's alienated from God. But he forbids us, and here's the definition of the world in 1 John 2, verse 15, according to Thayer, and I quote, the aggregate of things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. The end of quote. And that's from Thayer's Lexicon on page 357. Who determines moral boundaries? You know, many seem to think that moral boundaries are established in whatever decision a person makes for his or her lifestyle. But it's in Romans, the first and second chapters, that we see God's position as being the rightful position to set standards and to condemn violators. In Romans 1, we read about the Gentiles, the Greeks. The process of the Greeks seeking wisdom, they exchanged God for idols, and God gave them up. Powerful logic, isn't it? See, without God, the lust of their own hearts directed them toward uncleanness. They defiled their own bodies between themselves, as Romans 1, verses 26 and 27 teaches. These people had knowledge, but they did not retain God, the one that determines boundaries. They did not retain God in their knowledge. So, being rejected of God, for God being rejected, for their mental attitude, they lived a life not fitting or proper, as verse 28 of Romans 1 says. Women expressed the passion of dishonor in verse 25, in lesbianism. Now, Paul did not use this word because it didn't exist at that time, but it came into use on the island, Greek island, Lesbos, in the Aegean Sea after that Paul wrote the book of Romans. The sin is against nature. The woman is made for the man, not another woman, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 9. And in the same manner, men, having left the natural use of the female, become inflamed in their lust toward one another, male toward male. And Paul says they burned, and that word burned is an old word meaning to set on fire. They burned with lust, verse 27. This is homosexuality. God says, such are worthy of death, verse 32. And they receiving in themselves that recompense, retribution, fitting the crime. See, there's no exceptions in God's standards for human lifestyle. And when we reject it, then it's going to be divine retribution. Indeed, Who determines acceptable lifestyles? You know, the quagmire of moral filth into which many have fallen is the harvest that's produced by false teaching of religious leaders. You know, there's no translation of the scripture means what it says about moral perversion to these kind of people, to these kind of religious leaders. So they take liberty to tell us what God intended to say. And when said, it's nothing kin to what the Word of God says. But they have their conventions, they have their councils, they have their creeds of churches that show man's position setting boundaries for moral and for spiritual lifestyles. Church laws are established by human authority, and human churches operate by human laws. Some of the most major denominations, they've been long debating and dividing over the homosexual issue. But remember, human churches have human laws. And human law can be manipulated, it can be changed. I want to read a quote from the Courier Journal of Louisville, Kentucky, March 8, 1998, on page 1, and I quote, "Just a year after the Presbyterian Church required its leaders to be faithful in marriage and chaste if they are single, its long-running and antagonizing debate over homosexuals' rightful role in the church has surfaced anew." Going on in this same newspaper, but over on page 11, I quote, "In 1996, the Church's General Assembly, the national governing body, approved new ordination standards requiring that all church officers, lay deacons, and elders, as well as ministers, live either in fidelity within the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman, or chastity in singleness." End of quote. And shortly thereafter, we have this report. And again, I quote, "Presbyterians will decide on gay unions. Presbyterians will debate same-sex unions in their local governing church bodies in the coming year, now that the General Assembly has narrowly approved a ban on its churches blessing such unions. After a passionate yet sober debate late Friday, commissioners voted 268-251 to place a ban on same-sex unions within the Constitution of the Louisville-based Presbyterian churches. To take effect, the measure must be approved by a majority of 172 presbyters or local governing bodies in the next 12 months. And this was the Courier Journal newspaper, Louisville, Kentucky, July the 2nd. The year 2000. So we see how things changed in just 2 years' time. Man ought to walk to please God, because his goings are of the Lord, and his steps need to be established by him. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.